It's 1941. Britain is at war with Germany. As farm workers leave the land to join the armed forces, women from all walks of life volunteer to take their place. They call themselves the Women's Land Army. Intermedia Films, with the Greenlight Trust and Channel 4 Films, presents The Land Girls. A man treads on wooden boards crossing a country railway track, pacing back and forth. He's middle-aged, with thinning grey hair and moustache. He wears a shabby brown coat and hat, and heavy boots and gaiters. He looks tired and careworn. As he kneels and puts his ear to the track, the titles come up in white: Catherine McCormack, Rachel Weiss, Anna Friel, and Stephen McIntosh. The signal drops. The man stands with his back to the train as it puffs around a corner. A porter sees him.
Hey, clear the track, please!
He stands quite still, ignoring the train as it moves closer. The titles continue. The film's music is by Brian Locke, and the screenplay by Keith Dewhurst and David Leland from a novel by Angela Huth. The man moves aside as the train puffs in. He waits on the opposite platform as the engine squeals to a halt. The guard waves his green flag and climbs aboard as the two-carriage train pulls away. Three girls are left on the platform. They wear Land Army uniform: brown tweed jacket with beige corduroy breeches, green jumper over a shirt and tie, brown felt pudding basin hat. The man glances at them, turns away, and beckons as he leaves. The girls look at each other, pick up their leather suitcases, and follow him. A black Wolseley drives along muddy country lanes. The man is at the wheel, and inside sit the girls: Ag, who's dark with a heart-shaped face; Prue, trim and alert with knowing eyes; and Stella, a dreamy look on her strong, square face. The car disturbs some chickens as it turns into a farmyard surrounded by stone outbuildings. A cart stands in one corner. A woman watches from a window as the car pulls up and the girls climb out.
When the war came, it changed everybody's lives. I left my cozy job in an office and volunteered for the Women's Land Army. We all had to pull together to help win the war. We had to grow more food or starve. I chose the Lawrence Farm to be near my fiancé, Philip, who was an officer in the Navy. Oh.
Stella picks up her case like the others, and they carry them to the door. The woman greets them.
Well, I'm pleased to see you three at last, I must say.
Hello.
Hello.
For what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful.
Amen.
They sit round the table in the gloomy kitchen. Prue speaks first.
I spent 6 weeks at training learning how to milk a cow. I've never met a cow in my life. Well, not that sort, have not. Anyhow, all we got was this contraption. It was like a bag with rubber, you know, teats hanging down. And then they filled the bag with water, and you got to practice pulling on the, you know, the teats. They brought in a real cow for us to try once, like, at training. But by the time our lot got to it, it had run out of milk. I didn't even see it. The only time I've seen a real cow is from top at bus. I'm an hairdresser, you see. That's my proper trade.
Know where to come if one of our cows needs a perm.
John, not sure hairdressing can be classified as a trade, old girl.
Old girl? Sorry.
Nice casserole, Mrs. Lawrence.
Thank you.
Ag.
Ag.
I'm sorry.
What's it short for?
The others look up as Ag hesitates.
Agatha.
Finished.
Mr. Lawrence gets up and goes to the door, still chewing. He takes a lantern and walks down the steps to the outhouse, where the generator chugs. He turns off the generator and the farm is plunged into darkness. Bedtime. Oil lamps light the girls' room.
They don't like us. I know it's only my opinion, but it'll take some changing, you'll see. It's going to be like having to stop in on a Saturday night.
Well, I wouldn't want people in my house.
Don't want...
Stella unpacks a photograph.
You sure you're all right, stuck up with that end, Stella?
Oh, I'm fine. Lovely, thanks, Ag.
Lovely. Stella glares. Prue spots the photo.
Ooh, that your fella?
Philip. Oh, you can pass him on.
A smile freezes on Stella's face.
I do hope I get to meet him this time round, Stella.
You will.
Oh. You're not engaged, are
Prue
you?
Prue looks from Ag to Stella.
I don't mean to offend.
No, it's perfectly all right.
Ag jumps into bed as Mrs. Lawrence comes in.
Everything all right? Made yourselves at home?
Thanks very much.
She crosses to the table and sees Stella's petticoat.
Oh, so pretty.
Thank you.
She picks it up.
My mother had lace. They sold it in the shop.
Where was that, Mrs. Lawrence?
Dorchester. A milliner's.
Oh, I like a nice hat.
Me too.
Joe, our son Joe, has decided to join up at Royal Air Force, which leaves us short, and that's why we've had to bring you girls in. Things have been hard for such a long time. Don't be put off by my husband. It's the circumstances. Still, we'll manage.
She turns to go.
Always have done, always will.
Good night, Mrs. Lawrence.
The Lawrences lie in bed.
Women's land army. It's not an army. Just an excuse for a lark. And I'm paying for it.
What's your idea?
Well, what choice do I have? I got the bloody ministry on my back. Plough this, plough that.
In their room, the girls lie still. Moonlight streams through the window onto their eiderdowns. Stella listens to the guns. And gazes at Philip's photograph. She gets up and goes to the window, pulls back the curtain and peers out in the moonlight.
With you.
Where are we going?
Follow the bombs.
It's an air raid. We should be in shelter.
Together, Stella, Ag and Prue race up the hill, cardigans over their flimsy nightgowns. They're drawn to the glow at the top of the rise. They stand and watch as flames and explosions light the horizon.
Looks like they're getting a pasting. Is that where your Philip is?
Yes.
The dull red glow of the Southampton is mixed with puffs of white smoke.
You crackers, you two. I should lock
the
you
girls
up.
Walk towards the road. A motorcyclist comes round the corner. They watch him pass.
Maybe he's an Italian, prisoner of war.
On a motorbike?
Yeah, Italians are good on motorbikes. Oh, you can put me down for first dance, girls.
Morning. The farm lane glistens in the rain. A farmhand comes round the corner driving a herd of cows. Their bulk fills the lane. The three girls lean against a wall, wearing boots and corduroy breeches, hair tied up in scarves, ready for work. The cows reach the yard. Prue.
Bloody hell, look at the size of them. Do they shit like that all the time?
Egg.
There's your Italian.
Stella points out a lean young man cycling past.
Buongiorno, signor. Italiano, Italiano.
Si, signorina. Parlo Italiano. Bellissima.
Si, told you.
Joe.
Yes, Mum.
Si, you and Ratty.
Egg and Stella smirk.
Well, you don't have to be Italian.
In the cowshed.
Bene, bene, spaghetti, Mussolini, eh?
Ha, ha. Hey, come here, you. Show me how to get milk out of this thing.
Here, look.
Oh.
You gotta get a grip. Block and squeeze. Block and squeeze, right? If she moves, you push her. Or she'll push you.
Right. Okay, look. Hey! Hey, I've got it, girls! Bob's away!
Stella's having trouble. Jo crouches on the other side of her cow.
Block and squeeze, Miss Ag, like this. Squeeze.
I can manage, thanks. And I'm Stella, not Ag.
Where's your gum boots, Miss Stella?
Oh, they were short in the allocation. I missed out.
It won't last long in them shoes.
Mr. Lawrence strides across the farmyard, a sheepdog at his heels. He goes into the milking shed, where Ratty, an old farmhand, watches from the shadows as the girls pour milk into the steriliser.
Something's wrong, your master.
What?
They're doing it right.
Outside, Joe and Ratty sluice the yard down with water and sweep it with heavy brooms. Stella, Ag and Prue manoeuvre the heavy milk churns down the bumpy farm track. The men look on.
Which one for you then, Ratty?
The dark one takes my fancy. She reminds me of a girl I met in 1899.
In the fields, men, women and children pick up mangolds for cattle feed while the tractor clears stubble. Stella is uncomfortable. She stands up and stumbles across the furrows. Joe spots her.
You lost something, Miss Stella?
No, thank you.
What's up?
Nothing.
Where are you going then?
Where do you think?
Ratty! She's looking for somewhere to go!
What does she want, a poop?
Please, please, I don't need a map.
Where can she go, Ratty?
There's a 2-acre field over there. That one's not big enough. There's a 4-acre field over there.
I have been in a field before.
You want some paper?
No, thank you. I have some of my own.
She stalks round the corner, waving a ribbon of paper.
I say, that was completely out of line, old chap. Silly.
You talk like you've got a plum in your mouth.
Not cricket, as the boys say.
Ag bowls a mangold at a pail. Bath time.
What a rotter, eh? What an absolute little stinker.
Don't. Just don't mention what's beneath contempt.
I'm going to have him.
What?
Joe. Me, him, fornication.
Fornication? With him?
Why not?
He's unspeakable.
What's that got to do with it? Right then. Who's first?
I'll go last.
Please yourself. You stuck up where you are.
Fred, show what you've got.
Has it occurred to you that you might be spoken for?
So what?
Gauche I may be, but I am not stuck up.
Look at me! I'm not what you call Betty Grable, but I make the best of it. Look, you've got to stand straighter. Show the world what you...
Ag sticks out her chest.
Right, then I'm first. No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Ag and Prue throw off their clothes. Oh. Stella smiles as she watches the race.
Ready?
Too slow. Too slow. Hurry up.
In the yard, Mrs. Lawrence walks past with a bucket. She smiles too. Stella pours water from the copper over the two in the tub.
Oh, it's nice.
She empties a ladleful over their heads. Distant bombs wake Stella in the night. She gets up, pulls on her scarf and cardigan, creeps outside, and listens. The wind whips her scarf and nightdress as she stands rigid, staring towards the stricken city. In the stable, Joe is rubbing down a horse. Stella walks noiselessly in. Sweat soaks Joe's back and glistens as he runs his hand down the horse's flank. Stella's eyes widen. She watches Joe greedily.
Hey. Hey.
The horse turns its head to Stella. Joe's gaze follows. Stella blinks and drops her eyes.
Sleepwalker, Miss Stella.
Yes. Something like that.
She leaves Joe with a glint in his eye. In a tumble-down outhouse, Ag turns the handle of a huge mincer while Joe stands on the floor above, dropping mangolds into it through a hatch. Prue crosses the yard with two buckets of pigswill. Seeing Joe, she turns and makes for the big stone barn. Joe stops to watch. Prue puts the buckets down, smiles at Joe, and mounts the steps to the barn. Ag stops work and looks up at Joe.
Where's she going? There's no pigs in the barn.
He throws down a mangold and climbs down the ladder. Crosses the yard and heads for the barn. Ag settles herself on a stool and prepares for a long wait. Joe climbs the steps and opens the barn door.
Hello.
Prue is balanced on a crossbeam, like a tightrope walker.
There's no pigs up there, Miss Prudence.
Oh, really?
She walks along it gingerly.
Did you know I ran away to join a circus?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Whoa, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa!
Prue lands on her back in the hay. Joe scrabbles to reach her.
Oh, look, don't move!
It's me back!
Oh, you duck bugger!
Oh, it's me back!
Where? Oh, show me where!
I need to loosen me. Ah!
I'll get some help.
No, don't leave me! Oh. Help me! Oh, undo my button! Just undo it! Undo it! That's it.
Joe undoes the belt and loosens Prue's trousers. She lays her hand on his.
I'm in need of assistance, Joe.
Oh. I'm not actually very used to first aid.
Well, it's an emergency.
They kiss. Out in the yard, Stella comes to find Ag.
Where's Prue?
Ag points to the barn. Stella turns to look. The door's ajar.
And Joe?
Ag points again. Stella looks again. She turns and climbs the ladder.
I'd have guessed.
In the barn.
Hey, what are you doing? Come here.
Wait a minute.
Joe shuts the door, rushes back, tears off his trousers and grabs her. Ag and Stella mince the mangoes.
Percy Parker's bringing the bull over. Where's Joe?
I've been doing the chickens.
Inside.
What are you doing?
He points to the pails.
Julie, these here?
Stella shakes her head. Mr. Lawrence makes for the barn.
Oh!
It's my dad. It's my dad. It's my dad.
Oh, God. Do something. Do something. Don't say something.
Pooh holds the door.
Come on down.
He turns. Ag stands paralysed, lost for words.
Joe's in the field at the back of the pigsty.
Stella drops a mangold.
What's she doing there?
He turns.
Dig in.
Mr. Lawrence leaves the barn. Joe jumps from the window at the back.
What's he doing digging? I got cows need servicing.
Mrs. Lawrence walks round the back of the barn. She stops dead. Joe's adjusting his trousers, doing up the buttons, stuffing the shirt into the waistband, hanging onto his jacket with the other hand. His mother watches as he shrugs on the jacket, turns, and sees her. She raises an eyebrow. Joe takes a deep breath, straightens the jacket, nods to her awkwardly. She carries on into the barn. After a moment, he wanders off. His shirt tails hanging out. It's harvest time. Ag's hard at work in the fields with the other farmhands, spearing straw with pitchforks and tossing it onto the lower platform of a great red chugging baling machine. They're supervised by Mr. Lawrence. Stella's on the upper platform, transferring the straw to the mouth of the machine, where it's flattened and slides down a chute to the roller to emerge bound into neat bales. Joe arrives, out of breath, and joins in. The workers swarm like bees over the great machine, running up and down ladders, moving the straw with pitchforks or gloved hands, feeding the baler, throwing the bales onto a waiting cart, while the traction engine driving the machine puffs out white smoke. The sun shines down, and the pile of bales grows steadily. Mr. Lawrence and two ministry officials cycle down the lane.
Where's the East Meadow?
The road curves round the edge of a peaceful green meadow with a bubbling brook. The men dismount and lean their bikes against the gate. One of them strides into the field.
Come on, take a look at it,
Mr. Lawrence.
Who'd want to take a plough to a field like this? It's beautiful.
Yes, well, it's pretty, I grant you. But you've still got too much pasture, John.
You can lose this meadow and that one over there. You've got to plough at least another 20 acres. There's a lot of subsidy, virtually cash in hand.
The day we bought this farm, we walked across this meadow. It's not the money, Peter. I just won't plough it.
There's a war on, John. Hungry mouths to feed.
In the little village church, the three land girls stand in the pew behind Mr. and Mrs. Lawrence. Prue's eyes are on the choir stalls, where Joe tries hard to concentrate on his hymn book. In the churchyard,
nice boss, Joe.
He walks straight past to his parents.
Joe, well done.
As they walk home across the bridge, a red Ford car drives up behind them. At the wheel is a girl with a pale face and heavy features, her blonde hair bound in a tight roll. She stops the car.
Joe! Joe! Can I get you all in?
Joe pecks her cheek and goes round to the passenger seat.
Come on,
Mum! Well, what about the girls?
It's all right, we'll walk. We're fine.
Well, I won't say...
Joe and his parents climb in, watched by the three land girls. Ag gives a tiny wave as they drive away.
Who's that?
Don't you know? That's Joe's fiancé.
Thank you, Stella.
Sunday lunch.
Guest of honour.
Thank you.
Nice ring, Janet. Oh,
thank you, Prue. Joe and Janet have known each other since they were children.
Like brother and sister.
Where are you stationed?
Bristol, Sparking Plug Maintenance.
Oh, it's right up your street, that intertag.
Spark Plug Maintenance?
Weekend pass. Dad gave up some coupons, let me use the car.
When's the wedding?
Oh, I am answering a lot of questions today. Joe?
That's our secret.
You'll all be the first to know.
You can put me down for first bridesmaid, look good in white.
Thank you, Prue. Joe, do you fancy a drive before I go? Dad wants me back before dark.
Yeah.
What are you going to do in the Air Force, Joe?
When he joins up?
What do you think he's going to do in the Air Force? Dig trenches?
John,
fly.
You want to fly, Joe?
Maybe.
The flying choir boy.
Pilot.
Takes a lot of practice.
Tin cans with wings. Safer on the ground.
John, please.
Well, I'd like to fly. It'd be wonderful to fly.
Joe smiles at Stella, then helps himself to gravy and passes the gravy boat to Janet with hardly a look. The land girls observe them. Afterwards, rounding up the cows...
Vizira, should we go for a drive, Joe?
Cheeky cow. I bet they've been at it in the back seat, using up her dad's bloody coupons.
Actually, Prue, I thought you were cutting it a bit close.
I think you're wrong. I bet Daddy's under for kilt.
Well, they are engaged, aren't they?
I've never done it, you know. What? It! Well, how old are you, Ag?
26.
Blimey.
About you, Stella? Oh, I'm 21.
Ah, that's not what I mean, you know it.
Help me round these buggers up. I'm still going to have him. Total fornication, you'll see.
In the East Meadow, Mr. Lawrence throws sticks for his black and white collie.
There's a good boy.
The dog jumps for a stick, then chases it eagerly. The sun shines through the trees at the edge of the meadow, casting shadows on the long grass.
Come here.
He crouches down and strokes the dog.
Where's that war now then, Jack? Can't see no war round here. Come on, fetch it.
Joe lies fast asleep in bed. Prue creeps into the room and climbs in beside him. She kisses his lips.
What's going on here, then?
There's been an air raid. Germans have landed.
Best take cover.
Prue wraps her arms around Joe's neck and snuggles close as he kisses her.
Remember, this was your idea.
Oh, really?
Well, what's that then?
Huh? Oh. That's a parsnip.
The eiderdown writhes as Joe wriggles hastily out of his pajamas, then turns to Prue and draws her to him. Stella stands on a bar of the farm gate, looking up the lane. The postman cycles up.
Hello.
Morning.
Thank you.
Bye.
She checks the post, tears open a letter, reads it, smiles, and races to the farmyard.
Mr. Lawrence!
Oi! Time of day you call this?
Joe jumps on his bike.
I overslept. Then you got yourself together, boy. Get yourself down that recruiting office.
Me own time.
Wait, what's to keep you here?
Want to get rid of me?
Your bloody idea. That's why I got these girls in. Go on, get to work. Granny's got the team up at an all.
I'm going! I'll start on the East Meadow!
You bloody leave the East Meadow well alone, boy!
Joe slams furiously out of the gate and rides away, leaving it swinging.
You stare now.
I can plough, Mr. Lawrence.
Keep your nose out of it.
Mr. Lawrence, your post. Mr. Lawrence, my fiancé, he's in the Navy and he's got some leave coming up. I wondered if maybe I...
County feeding stuffs officer. Area potato officer. Spitfire parade. Now, what the bloody hell do you think this is?
Please don't swear at me, Mr. Lawrence.
No. The answer's no. Too much work to be done. Jack, come here.
Stella is left alone, clutching her letter. Mrs. Lawrence, who's passing, gives her a sympathetic look. Stella fights back tears. Up on the hill, Stella strides through the trees carrying an old brown knapsack. She comes to a field and stands on the bar of the gate, leaning over, searching. Ahead of her stretches a patchwork of green fields. Cows graze peacefully in one corner, and in another, almost hidden in the fold of the hill, is a row of brown furrows. Joe is tilling the soil, his plough drawn by two sturdy Shire horses. He stops them as Stella approaches.
Hello.
She holds out the knapsack.
Ducky.
Thanks.
Your mother asked me to bring it over. I don't think she looks very well. She's tired.
He takes out a thermos, unscrews the cap.
Where's East Meadow?
Which way did you come?
That way.
You must have crossed it.
Well, what's so special about it?
Dad just won't plough it. He'd just rather have me ploughing the likes of this up this hill, which is a real...
bugger.
Right.
Right.
He's got to plough his quota, see? Otherwise, he'll have the cultivation officer on his neck.
Joe drinks and turns back to the plough. Stella looks after him, then heads for the gate as Joe urges the horses up the steep hill.
Get on, Pete!
Children tear down a street following a band.
Thank you.
There's a procession, and at its head a banner proclaims Build a Spitfire. Behind it marches a small group of khaki-clad soldiers, then a larger one of men in the grey-blue of the RAF. Next, the green banner of the Dorset Women's Land Army, the girls smart in their tight green sweaters and beige breeches. They march to the town square for the speeches and line the steps leading up to the platform. Prue singles out a handsome airman for her best smile. He winks back.
The total for the month is £335, 18 shillings and sevenpence halfpenny. It helps carry the fund well on its way to its third £1,000. Another Spitfire will soon take to the air. Today, I have a message for all who have enrolled in the Women's Land Army. You have indeed earned the right to call yourselves an army. In these stern days of war, every acre cultivated means more food for our people. There are now more than 20,000 serving in your ranks today. By your skill and devotion, you have released great battalions of men who now fight for the land which formerly they...
Joe is ploughing.
Their task is now in your hands. As they abandon the plough to take up the banner of freedom, to fight on the land, on the sea, and in the air. Oh, right on cue. Here comes the Spitfire. That way, I think.
She points. All heads turn.
No, sorry.
Pointing in the opposite direction. The pilot dips the camouflaged aircraft low over the lines of red, white and blue bunting. Land girls throw their hats in the air and the crowd waves paper Union Jacks as the plane passes overhead. On the farm, Joe's still working, holding the wooden handles of the plough steady as it bumps over the sloping field, turning the grass to brown furrows. He looks up when he hears the Spitfire. Joe stops ploughing and watches the plane. The pilot does a roll, then flies low over the valley. The plane rolls over twice more and dives downwards, then straightens, glinting silver in the sun. Joe stands quite still, watching every move as the plane dips and soars. The girls are off to an RAF dance. Joe stops the car by the dance hall. The girls pile out and take off their coats.
Right, we'll leave these here. Joe!
What?
Here, Joe, put these in the car.
Thank you, Joe.
Come on, ready?
They run up the steps, pause, and link arms.
Right, girls, a bomb's in, tits out.
The girls march in. Joe follows behind. The hall is packed, and Stella is immediately asked to dance. Prue watches the action, dressed for the occasion in silky salmon pink. Ag stands beside her in a plain dark dress with a red cardigan.
I classify dances with fox hunting and hanging. Force us down here like lemons while troops of utterly unsuitable men come and ask us to dance. Then they grab you like you've stolen their wallet and stamp all over your toes. It's all just an excuse to get your knickers down.
Looking for the wallet.
Can I have this dance?
Oh, not just now, thanks. See what I mean? Utterly unsuitable.
Oh, you're too fussy. You just need to cut in.
Prue scans the dancers.
There he is.
She squares her shoulders, marches through the crowd, and touches the arm of the airman who winked at her. He turns, and she takes over from his partner without missing a beat. Left alone, Ag drifts over to the table as Joe arrives with drinks.
Two G&Ts.
G&T super, down the hatch.
Where's Probe?
Missing, believe lost.
He looks up and sees her.
She's bloody dancing.
All you deserve, you
Joe
toad.
Puts down the beer he's pouring, seizes Prue's G&T.
Super, thanks.
And downs it in one.
Thanks.
Joe cuts brusquely in on an airman dancing away with his girl. Ag sighs. She finishes her drink, walks over to a dark corner, and dances there on her own.
What?
Hi.
Hi. Not a Yank, are you?
Canadian.
Really?
Really? I'm really Canadian. Dance?
Dance? You want to dance?
Look, I'm Desmond. Don't I know you? Aren't you Cleopatra, Queen of the Nile?
Of course I am. How perceptive you are.
She gives Desmond a dazzling smile, moves into his arms, and they dance away. At a smoky table, Joe chats up his partner. Outside.
Barry. I think...
Yes?
I'm having you wrapped up and taken home.
Prue and Barry kiss passionately. On the steps above, Ag faces Desmond.
I'm sorry, but what you've just said is that in 15 minutes you have to go to Malta. So if you hadn't come up to me, we could very easily have missed each other.
That's what I figure.
Impossible, of course, under the circumstances that you could dream of asking me to wait for you.
Impossible.
I probably will.
I hope.
I really don't know what to say next.
Just close your eyes.
What?
Your eyes. Go on.
She closes her eyes, and Desmond kisses her gently on the lips.
Thank you.
An airman.
Where is she? Where is she?
Joe's with his girl.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. My knickers are all twisted. Well, I don't even know
you. You! Get off her!
Quick!
You! Get out! Now!
He drags her from the car. Joe follows. Joe falls.
Come on!
Stella leaves the dance and stands on the balcony. Looking down, she sees Ag with Desmond by his car. He kisses her hand. His ADC opens the door and he climbs in. Ag gives Stella a little wave. Stella smiles down at her. Turning to go back to the dance, she spots a crumpled heap on the steps and goes down to investigate.
Joe?
I've been attacked.
Oh, that's terrible. Let me see.
Stella sits beside Joe. Inside the dance hall, the organizer goes on stage and takes the microphone.
I have an announcement. Today, Japanese planes have made a surprise attack on the U.S. Pacific Fleet at Pearl Harbor. Japan has declared war on America. The Yanks are in on our side.
Stella dabs it with a handkerchief.
Just move a bit. That's... Oh, this is awful.
I don't mind. I'll be all right.
Who did this?
Oh, some piss pot airman.
Oh,
Well, we should call the military police.
No. No. It's not worth it. I'll pop your heart. You go back to the dance if you want.
Well, I'm not in a hurry. Came out here to escape.
Oh, so you're dancing?
Why didn't you ask me to dance?
Well, posh officers. You had them queuing up.
I thought I'd dance with you.
I didn't know.
You didn't ask.
You're a lot, ain't I?
Posh officers.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not so sure.
Joe watches Stella, then hesitates and takes a chance.
Look pretty in that dress.
Thank you.
Their eyes lock.
Joe.
Stella.
Who were you when you got hit?
Here. Why?
Does this have anything to do with that waff that I saw you with earlier?
No. Oh, I didn't fancy her anyway.
Oh, Joe! Why'd you do this?
What?
Is that what you said to Prue in the barn?
What?
You look pretty in that dress.
No, she wasn't wearing a dress.
And she wasn't wearing much at all from what I heard of it.
Who told you that?
You know, people like you just don't make officers, Joe.
Oh, I don't need this. You know, someone's just hit me in the eye, Stella.
All you deserve.
Oh, bugger this. I'm going home.
Yeah, why don't you, before someone hits you in the other one?
Stella runs up the steps.
I meant what I said about the dress. Oh, sorry.
At dawn, the girls dance. Stella stands motionless on a high bar of a farm gate, leaning forward to balance, waiting for Prue.
I hope you're keeping caviar.
Exactly who do you expect along here this time of the morning?
Well, you never know. Mabit Grenadier
Prue
Guards.
Prue pulls up her knickers.
And I can't salute Grenadier Guards with my knickers round me ankles, can
and
I?
And trots after Ag, twitching her petticoat and dress into place. Prue and Ag stand each side of Stella by the gate, then clamber shakily up to join her, holding hands to balance.
Oh. Hello. Hello.
Steady. What are we doing up here?
That's a very good point. Excuse me, Stella, what exactly are we doing up here?
We're looking at the East Meadow.
Ooh, the East Meadow!
Stella's face is set, her eyes hard, as she stares at the meadow in the blue dawn light. Mr. Lawrence wakes suddenly. He sits up in bed and listens. He gets up, walks to the window and draws back the curtain. Stella is driving the tractor out of the barn, still wearing her party dress. She carves a furrow straight across the green of the East Meadow. Mr. Lawrence and his dog cross the brook, heading for the tractor. Stella's standing up in the tractor, watching carefully to see that she's doing a good job. The earth curls into neat brown furrows in her wake. The farmer and his dog follow the tractor up the field. Stella turns and sees him. She stops the tractor. Mr. Lawrence strides straight past Stella without a glance, then stops, looks up and down the ploughed strip, and turns to face her.
Did you do this in anger? Getting back at me?
Started as anger, yes.
Mr. Lawrence looks at the neat furrows. Stella sits perfectly still in the tractor, watching him. His shoulders slump, and he walks slowly away to face the woods beyond, standing with his back to her. After a moment, he looks round over his shoulder.
You should see this field in the spring. It's beautiful.
He looks about and sighs.
Just beautiful.
He presses his lips together and stands quite still. Then walks over to the tractor, bends down and turns the starting handle.
You better finish it! You're doing a good job!
Mr. Lawrence leaves his East Meadow without looking back. Stella comes into the kitchen, sunk in thought.
Some tea in the pot, Stella.
Sorry, Mrs. Lawrence, I didn't see you there.
She puts down the pair of shoes she's carrying and picks up the teapot. She glances across.
You're right, Mrs. Lawrence.
Mrs. Lawrence looks drained. She gets up and forces herself to reply.
Yes, dear.
She slumps. Stella catches her.
I'm just tired, that's all.
Well, then stay there, then.
No, there's too much to do.
Please, Mrs. Lawrence, just tell me what needs doing.
You're not supposed to do domestic things.
Shh, listen to me. You rest just for today. I can take care of it.
Mrs. Lawrence lies back in bed. Stella races down the lane.
Mr. Lawrence!
Mr. Lawrence follows the doctor through the farm kitchen. Stella, now in work clothes, pours a cup of tea. When Mr. Lawrence returns, she's standing at the kitchen table in front of a mixing bowl. Mr. Lawrence sits down opposite Stella. She avoids his eyes. He sugars his tea and looks up.
She got what they call a murmur. The heart. She'd always had it. We've always joked about it. She said if she was horse, we'd have to shoot.
Stella smiles.
Doctor says it's fatigue.
When did you come here, Mr. Lawrence?
1918. Bought this farm in 1918, just after I left the army. 23 years ago. And here we are, another war.
Stella carries on mixing. Mr. Lawrence drinks his tea, watching her.
I must owe you some time off, young lady. Go see your young man.
She doesn't react.
See him while you can.
Stella looks up. Mrs. Lawrence lies in bed. Joe stands looking out of the window.
I'll get up tomorrow.
Tell you what, Mum. I'll postpone till after Christmas. Air Force.
He turns to look at her.
What did you do to yourself at that dance last night? You got yourself in a right pickle.
Joe watches the girls bringing in the cows.
Is it one of those girls?
No. No, Mum.
He watches Prue turn the corner, then reaches up and draws the curtains.
Blackout time.
In the attic bedroom, Ag is dolled up in a pair of black high-heeled shoes, dark-coloured skirt and pale blue top. She preens in front of the mirror. Stella, smartly dressed in coat, hat and gloves and carrying a small suitcase, stands waiting in the yard. Joe drives up the bumpy lane on his motorbike and pulls up in front of her. He looks up at her expectantly.
I saw people going in the car.
No, this is cheaper. Less petrol. Saves on the coupons.
Unless you want Ratty to take you on the motorbike.
She smiles sweetly, cocks her head and saunters up to him. She dumps her suitcase across the handlebars.
I'll travel on the back.
Joe, wearing hat and goggles, speeds through the rain-soaked country lanes, splashing cheerfully through the muddy puddles. Stella clings on the back, holding tightly onto her hat. She removes the hat and clutches it with one hand pressed against his shoulder. Her other arm is wrapped tightly round Joe's chest. They hurtle down a hill, the wheels sending up a great spray of water. They sway erratically from side to side, and Stella clings on for dear life, teeth clenched. Joe, with a carefree smile, keeps his head down and ploughs on recklessly. They pull up outside the railway station. Stella clambers off and stumbles against a wall for support. She totters towards the platform.
Deeply irresponsible, travelling at those kind of speeds.
You keep looking down your nose at me like that, you'll go both sides.
Oh, well, I'll try to avoid it.
What's your dad do for a living, then?
He's a bank manager. Why?
And what about you and your chap, the officer? You engaged?
Yes.
Where's your ring?
We don't have a ring, not yet.
Oh, I see.
Return to Southampton, please.
Southampton? Staying overnight, are we? You know, Janet has a ring.
Listen, I love Philip. We're going to spend our lives together, and he loves me. And when you love someone, you don't do the kind of things you do, so please don't compare us to you and Janet.
Hey, you listen to me, you sourpuss. There's nothing special about being an officer. I could have been an officer. I went to grammar school. I got certificates. You know, I could have gone to university.
Then why didn't you?
Because there was work to be done. I've had to care for me family. Me mum, me dad. What about you? What do you really care about, eh? Make me a list. Write it on the back of that ticket.
Joe dumps Stella's suitcase down angrily and storms off. Stella runs to pick it up and hurriedly boards the train. Ag and Prue ride on a horse-drawn cart.
Come on, Ag. Come on. I honestly don't think it's a problem.
Says you.
Well, it isn't. There are thousands of virgins. It's not just you.
When Desmond gets back, it's got to be perfect. No fiddling around, not knowing what to do. I once fiddled around with Tommy Boddington. It was awful.
Ask Joe. He'll give you a go.
What?
Joe. I'd recommend him, definitely.
Couldn't do that.
Yes, you could. If you saw
Southampton. Philip, in his navy uniform with black greatcoat, strolls arm in arm with Stella along a beach.
So, do you hear much from your mother? She ever mentioned mine?
Actually, I don't hear as often as I thought I would.
God, mine writes every other day. Tells me what's been happening with your mother, who tells her what's been happening with you.
Do you sail out there?
Most nights. You've not changed your mind, have you, about getting married?
No, never.
Lose your chance. I can't.
Joe strides past Ag and Prue.
I say, Joe. I say. I say, Joe, could you just stop, please? I'll come straight to the point. No beating about the bush. I wondered, could you give me a go?
What do you mean a go? What at?
Well, Stella's away. Prue's seeing Barry tonight, so I wondered if you wouldn't mind popping up and giving me a bit of a go.
Joe stares. Ag swallows nervously. Prue eavesdrops from a distance.
You mean...
Yes.
He glances over at Prue, who returns to her work.
Is this your idea?
Well, certainly it is, of course.
The elder you lot think I am. Bloody hell!
Yes, of course you're right. I'm sorry, it was absolutely disgraceful. It was nothing personal.
Her mouth gapes open as she stares after him. She turns and strides back to Prue, grasps her pitchfork with both hands and drives it angrily into the ground. In an elegant hotel, Stella and Philip follow two porters through a long corridor with a black and white tiled floor. A chambermaid stands aside. In the bedroom, Philip sits on a chair putting shoehorns into his shoes. Stella comes in wearing a nightdress and dressing gown. She smiles at him.
What did you put when you signed the register?
Mr. and Mrs. Blythe. Do you mind?
No. Do they believe we were married?
Probably not. More
time. Philip unbuttons his trousers and slips them off. Stella hovers by the door for a moment, then walks over to a suitcase lying open on the double bed. She glances up at him as he folds his trousers meticulously.
First things first.
She fidgets awkwardly, then turns to him.
Philip?
Hmm?
You remember you had this spot of leave postponed?
I was in touch the instant I could be, Stella.
Of course you were.
And things were sticky for you.
Yes. Yes, well, it was all right then. Now it isn't.
What is it?
Well, you know.
Oh.
My monthly event.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, God.
Sorry.
Do you know, I half wondered this afternoon if there wasn't something wrong with you.
Oh, I should have postponed, but I was so desperate to see you.
Curse. Yes.
At the farm, Ag lies on her bed doing leg exercises. She stops abruptly and remains motionless. She rolls off the bed and sits up primly. The door creeps open.
Oh, what do you want?
I thought about what you said.
No, no, you were right. It was an absolutely disgraceful idea, and I apologize.
Joe steps inside and closes the door.
I thought about what you said. And I changed my mind. And I'm here. If you want. I'm standing by.
Good.
If you want.
Yes. Thanks for telling
me. He nods. She rises and begins to undress hurriedly.
Let me say, in the future, I believe, in my opinion, that social justice will be brought about not by violence, but by complete honesty between men and women. So the first thing I must tell you, I feel you must know this about me, and please don't laugh afterwards. My name is not Agatha.
Joe keeps a straight face.
The second thing is that... Well, come on, join in, get them off. The second thing is that I went to Cambridge. I'm a virgin, said it. My father's a solicitor, and I'm going to be a barrister.
Will you prosecute me if I come too soon?
What?
Sorry.
They stand opposite each other, shivering in their underwear.
You done then?
Yes.
In the hotel room, Stella rolls over in her sleep and places her hand on the empty space beside her. She wakes and opens her eyes to see Philip sitting by the window, gazing out pensively, smoking a cigarette.
German gunboats have come in quite close, protecting mine layers. We're firing back. Running battles out there every night.
Is that what you do?
I think about you. I make mental pictures of us after the war. And we don't do much. Walk dogs, bring up children, sit in a garden somewhere. It's what gets me through.
Thinking about. She gazes at him intently. At the station, Joe waits as the Great Western train pulls in. Lumbering steam train shudders to a halt, snorting smoke out from its underbelly. Joe smirks and retreats round the corner just as Stella gets off the train and looks around her. She walks out of the station and rounds the corner to find Joe lounging, arms crossed and legs outstretched, on the back bumper of the Black Wolseley. She raises her eyebrows.
Where's the motorbike?
Was it Evan?
No.
She dumps her suitcase beside him.
I'll travel in the bag.
Stella gets in. Joe tosses the case in the front. The three girls lie on Prue's bed.
So, what happened with Joe then, Ag?
Did you slip downstairs last night?
No, I'm keeping myself pure for Desmond.
Ah.
Ag wanted to go before getting down to business with Desmond. And I suggested Joe.
I see.
A trial run.
She didn't do it. Stupid bugger.
Well, if you're in love, why spoil it?
Do you know where Desmond is, Ag?
I've got an address in Egypt.
Well, how do you know he'll come back?
I don't.
What about you and Philip, Stella?
We had a lovely time.
Oh, we had a lovely time. How many lovely times?
We didn't do it.
Why not?
I don't know. I lied. I told him I had my period. I lied and he slept in a chair. He was lovely. Perfect gentleman.
Oh, it sounds like a doom to me. I'd have Barry anywhere.
Oh, damn it.
What?
I'm a bloody liar, too. I did do it with Joe last night.
Oh, Ag! You bugger!
Well, I only did it just the once. I asked for seconds, but he refused. He was terribly decent about it all.
Oh, well, if you're in love, why spoil it?
Do you disapprove terribly, Stella?
No, Ag. I think it's probably best to do it while you can.
A small stone church set amid an expanse of fields, all covered with a blanket of frost. The sun creeps over the icy landscape. When the congregation emerges from the church, led by Mr. and Mrs. Lawrence, followed by Joe and Janet, the sun is out, the frost has thawed, and the damp grass shimmers. While the children scamper ahead, the rest of the procession trudge up the hill at a steady pace, casting long shadows in the early morning sun. Stella walks with Ag, Prue walks arm in arm with Barry, and everyone chatters away. Nighttime. Mr. Lawrence hurries across the rain-swept yard towards the house for the Christmas meal.
Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
There! Barry, look! This is a mango.
What are you doing bringing that in the house, John?
Telling them my strategy for winning the war. You've never seen one of these before?
No, never.
Never throw a mango. That's just what Hitler wants. You throw
Ready?
A mango.
Hooray! We all want some piggy pudding. We all want some piggy pudding. We all want some piggy pudding. So bring some right in.
You throw a mango and it gets bruised. When it gets bruised, it bleeds and the whole clamp goes moldy, which means we can't feed the sheep. So we go hungry ourselves and we've lost the bloody war. So, you never, ever throw a mango. You lays him down gently, like he was an unexploded bomb.
Not on the table, John.
Hey, you lay him down gently, Joe.
Joe runs out and bowls the mangold into the yard.
Eat your pudding, everyone.
No, no, no. A toast first. Good old beer and cider. We'll have some port later. A toast to all of us. God bless us is none like us. And God bless the king and queen.
King.
The drink.
Hip hip.
Hooray!
Can I have the afternoon off day after tomorrow, Mr. Lawrence?
What, day after tomorrow? What for?
Barry and me are getting married. Special license.
Congratulations.
Yes, lovely, lovely.
Oh, lovely, Stella, lovely.
Prue's getting married to Barry. He's air crew. Day after tomorrow. Can you make it?
Okay. I need a dress.
Yes.
Bridesmaid.
Yes.
Yes,
I do. Of course I do.
You know, Philip, it's a bad line.
It was.
Oh, yeah? I love you.
It means that I can be bridesmaid.
Philip?
Gosh, I just think I'll forget.
The pips are going, Philip. Put some more money in. Philip?
She sighs and closes her eyes tightly. Carrying lanterns, Ag, Prue and Ratty lead a small herd of cows through the yard into the cowshed. Light shines warmly out of the three archways. Over the entrance is a banner, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Inside, Barry talks to Joe.
We're fueled and armed, 2 tons of bombs, cleared for takeoff and ready to go. We all felt it. Like a ghost running through the plane. Fear. Black bloody terror. All the other planes were taking off. We just sat there at the end of the runway, going nowhere.
So what happened?
Pulled off onto the grass. We didn't fly that night.
Didn't they court martial you?
We were okay the next day. We set Cherbourg docks on fire.
He drinks. Joe looks thoughtful. A wedding. Land girls in uniform line the steps leading up on both sides to the entrance of the town hall. They throw confetti down as Prue and Barry pass through the archway beneath. to be greeted by two lines of land girls holding up pitchforks and other tools to form an archway over bride and groom. Prue and Barry stop and smile delightedly. Prue gives a little wave and grins. They look at each other and kiss. Back in the fields, thick fog hangs over the ground. Ag and Stella are muck-spreading, scooping up piles of manure with pitchforks and shaking it out over the ground. At a junction in the road with a triangle of grass in the centre, a bicycle takes a left turn, then turns back and goes straight on instead. The cyclist freewheels down a hill, passing a tractor. The three girls sit on the trailer behind the tractor, dangling their legs over the back. The tractor disappears round the corner. The bicycle backtracks and rounds the corner to follow it.
Lost. Aww. Completely lost.
Aww. Aren't you sweet?
Scottish.
The Lamberts farm, I think it is. Do you know the Lamberts farm?
No, but we know the Lawrence farm.
That might be it. I'm looking for a land girl. Prudence Hampton, I think she is now. Do you know her?
Yeah, we've heard of her. Terrible reputation.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just that I've got a message for her.
Well, you tell us and we'll tell her.
Barry. Barry Hampton. He went down in the channel last night. I saw it, some of it. They didn't stand a chance.
We'll tell her.
They only get married just last...
I said we'll tell her. Ratty, let's go on.
Back at the farm. A hazy beam of light streams through the window. Prue sits in the big metal bathtub, hugging her knees to her chest. Stella and Ag kneel by the side of the tub. They scoop up handfuls of water and tip them down her back. Rivulets trickle over the strands of wet hair plastered to Prue's skin.
You silly, stupid fool of a boy! I told him be careful. I told him, Stella, Ag, I told him. He was only a child. He couldn't be trusted to cross the bloody road. Why did he have to go? Why didn't he stay? Don't let go of what you want. When you find it, you hold it. Hold on to it tight. Don't let go. Do you hear me? Don't just turn your back on it. If it's only for an hour or a minute, you hold on to it. Hold on to it tight. You silly, silly boy. Why did you have to go?
It's time to get out, old girl.
No. No, it hurts too much. Oh, I've got to go home, girls. I'm going home. I want my mum.
A flock of white doves flutter into the air as Stella comes out into the yard. She closes the door behind her and lingers for an instant with her head bowed and hands flat against the wooden door. She walks away unsteadily down the slight slope, hands buried in her pockets. She glances up and stops, her eye caught by something. Joe stands in the doorway to the hayloft, slumped against the doorframe. Stella walks towards the barn, keeping her eyes fixed on him. The rain spatters the surface of the duck pond beside her. She climbs the steps and comes up beside him.
Joe. Joe.
He turns his back and walks a few steps away. He leans against the door and presses his fingers against his eyes. She rests her hand on his chest. He takes it and turns his face to hers. Eyes tightly closed, they edge closer. Their lips almost touch, then Joe pulls back.
Don't do that. Please don't.
Avoiding his eyes, she steps down and her hand slips away from his. Joe stares after her and leans weakly against the door, taking deep, shuddering breaths. Later, in a brown suit, he strides confidently up the steps of the town hall and enters. Inside, he sits with a line of young men on a long bench. A man in a white coat strolls past. He walks over to a clerk sitting at a desk and consults the appointment book.
Lawrence!
Me.
Right.
Joe rises and follows the man. Joe stands in the barn, staring up at the wooden crossbeam. He strides over to the steps to the hayloft. He climbs a ladder up to the crossbeam. He stands on the vertical strut that supports the crossbeam, wavers, then jumps, arms flailing, onto the hay below. The hay flies up in the air as he lands. He lies on his front in the pile of hay for a while, then rolls over, finds he's unhurt, and jumps to his feet. He stamps back up the steps, then up the ladder again, and stands once more on the strut. He punches himself in the chest and sways back and forth, willing himself to jump. He flops an arm down in disappointment and rolls over. He rushes back up to the crossbeam and beats the wood desperately. Mrs. Lawrence stands gazing up at him.
What are you doing?
In the house.
Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tickety tock, tick 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 tock, tickety tock, tick tock.
What do you mean?
Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, I'm telling you, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock.
What do you mean?
I'm telling you, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tickety tock.
You've been down a pub.
Tick some of the time, yeah. Tick tock, tick tock.
Just tell us what they said.
Tick tock, tick tock.
Joe!
They referred me for tests. The doctor said. He said, you're up shit's creek, he said.
He's drunk.
I'm not drunk. Unfit for service, that's what I am. Not drunk. He said, he's sending me for tests. What's 2 and 2? 5. But must report me unfit for service. Knacker's yard.
Why?
Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock.
He's going round in circles. He's doing it on purpose.
A condition of the heart. My heart sounds different from other people's.
Is that what the doctor said?
Oh, I think he was a vet.
It's what I've got. It's nothing serious. It's what your grandfather's got, and he's still going strong.
Yeah, well, that's what I told him.
It's in the family.
I didn't think they'd be so fussy.
Well, I told him. I told him not to go.
Oh, what's that got to do with it? What you told me? I wanted to go.
Oh, Joe, please, let's not have any of this.
Marry Janet, carry on where you left off. That's what you want. Work me ass off year in, year out, and for what? So I end up knackered as you and Mum.
What's wrong with Janet?
Oh, nothing's wrong with Janet.
Well, you take that back. You take back what you just said.
Oh, bugger off.
Don't you turn your back on me. What's that?
Oh, no.
Get down!
They rush out into the yard. They duck as the plane sweeps low overhead, leaving a trail of grey smoke behind it.
It's a German!
They stare open-mouthed into the sky as they follow the course of the plane. It wobbles and pitches from side to side. On its flank is a black cross.
Girls!
Joe starts racing towards the field where Stella is working. Stella turns. The plane crashes in the field. Joe and Stella cling together. Ag and Ratty rush up. The plane explodes just as the pilot climbs out. Joe and Stella jump back. The pilot is thrown to the ground, but picks himself up and staggers towards them on fire. He collapses on the ground. Joe runs up to him, tearing off his jacket. He uses it to beat at the flames. The fire rages on. Joe covers the flames with his jacket and throws himself on top of it. The flames die out. Stella draws closer, panting heavily. Joe rolls the pilot over. One side of his face is horribly burned. Ag looks away. Joe glances up at Stella, a look of despair on his face. Stella looks at the burning plane. Inside the house, Joe and Stella sit on the stairs. They're wearing their night clothes.
When I saw that plane, I thought you were dead.
And suddenly nothing else mattered. Mom, Dad, Janet, Air Force, pigs, chickens, nothing. Nothing but you. And I thought you were dead.
Their lips inch closer and they kiss.
So what do you want to do then after the war?
Anything. As long as it's with you. I'm not going back, never.
When did you first know?
What?
About us.
I didn't.
You liar.
I was too busy looking the other way. It just crept up on me. What about you?
You always won.
Out of a choice of three.
Oh, I just didn't dare dream it could happen.
Just you wait until I get you into bed.
I don't think I can.
We're gonna have to.
Yeah, I know. Can you hear? All else is listening. You think they can hear this?
Mr. Lawrence enters his bedroom and closes the door.
They're still sitting on the stairs.
What are they doing?
I just told you.
They should be in bed. In their own beds.
I am not moving.
You're still wearing your hat.
Well, what do you expect?
He never wanted Janet, you know.
Next morning, Stella and Joe are ploughing the East Meadow. Two Shire horses pull one plough, guided by Joe from the rear. Stella pulls the other plough on a tractor, glancing repeatedly over her shoulder to ensure she makes a straight furrow. Having started at opposite ends of the field, only a green strip down the centre of the field remains unploughed. They stop work and stroll towards each other across the unploughed grass. Smiling and swinging their arms breezily by their sides, Joe and Stella meet in the centre of the field and embrace. They sit on the ground under a gnarled and twisted tree, and they kiss.
What about Philip?
Go to Southampton as soon as possible, tell him. I love you, Joe. I love you.
I don't believe you. You're just after what's in my thermos. So what made you want to marry Philip then?
Just wanted to get married.
Thought he was the right man, he fitted. I could take him home for tea.
Could you take me home for tea?
I could take you anywhere.
Oh, look out. Here comes a big bad wolf.
Mr. Lawrence strides over to them, followed by Mrs. Lawrence and the collie. Mr. Lawrence dumps a pair of gumboots at Stella's feet.
Here.
He strides away.
Walking about in them shoes all winter. Try that. And you.
They fit.
We've been to Dorchester.
In the girl's bedroom, Stella is woken by footsteps and the light of a lantern glowing from the staircase. Mrs. Lawrence creeps into the room.
Stella? Stella?
Yes, Mrs. Lawrence. Your mother's on the telephone.
Stella replaces the receiver and sits wringing her hands. Mrs. Lawrence goes to her.
I've made a warm drink.
Thank you. It's Philip. He's in hospital.
Is it serious?
I'm sure not. A bit of a wound, Mummy said.
A train pulls into the station. Stella and Joe stand close together on the platform.
I'll be back on Tuesday, no matter what. I don't think you'll mind when I tell him. I think he'll be relieved.
You'll let me know if you're going to be longer.
No, I won't. His mother's there. She'll be pleased to see the back of me. Probably get convalescence leave and fall in love with some pretty young nurse.
Hope to God you're right. I love you, Stella.
They kiss as the train slows to a halt.
Trust me. Trust me forever. Tuesday.
They embrace. Joe picks up Stella's bag and they hurry to the train. Stella climbs in, and Joe hands in the case. Stella leans out of the window for a final kiss before the train moves away. Joe steps back and stands watching as she disappears from sight. Joe strides out onto the track as soon as the train has departed, and stands staring after it. Hospital. Stella marches down a long corridor past nurses and officers in uniform. Reaching a hallway, she's greeted by a lady in a white coat with a fur collar.
Little Stella? Oh my God, you even look as though you've been working on the land.
Well, I have. How's Philip?
My spunky son? Follow me. I've been up and down these stairs so often, they'll soon give me a nurse's uniform. The Japanese have taken Singapore, did you hear? It's the end of the British Empire as we've lived it. I'm afraid that, actually, I'm up to my eyeballs in gin.
Oh, dear. How's Philip?
You better take a look for yourself.
Stella steps into a large, darkened ward and stares round. All she can make out are single beds, illuminated by lights hanging from each headboard. She walks nervously through the room, peering at the patients on each side. In gloomy half-shadow, they all lie virtually motionless, with bandaged heads or limbs. The only proof that they're alive are small movements. A blink, a twitch, a finger tapping ash from a cigarette into an ashtray. Philip lies bathed in the pool of light from his overhead lamp. His head rests on a stack of pillows, his eyes are closed, his arms tucked tightly at his sides under a semicircular frame holding the blankets above his body. She stands at the foot of his bed and looks up slowly when he starts to speak.
There we were, walking the dogs. You and me, married.
Sorry, I thought you were asleep.
You can sit on the bed if you like, there's acres of room. My legs come to an abrupt halt somewhere just below the knee. So blissful, darling. I can't feel a thing. Morphine. I say that before. Perhaps you mentioned it. Hell and high water. I'd understand if you said no.
Stella is rooted to the spot. Stella stands motionless on a shingle beach, staring out to sea, a fence of spiraled barbed wire in front of her, the green hills behind. She turns her head and walks away. At the station, Joe treads on the wooden boards crossing the railway line. He puts his foot on the track, then kneels, and puts his ear to the track to listen for the train. The signal drops.
Hey, young lads, off the track!
Joe lifts his head and gets to his feet. He smiles and stands with his back to the train as it puffs round the corner. The guards cross the track in front of him.
Tell your father.
He stares after them and holds his ground, ignoring the train behind him. Just as the engine lumbers up to the spot where he's standing, he moves casually aside. He strolls over to wait on the opposite platform as the engine squeals to a halt. The train puffs away to reveal an empty platform. Joe stares after the train and looks around him. The station is deserted, except for an official walking along the opposite platform. Joe looks down, takes his hands out of his pockets, and slumps onto a bench. The rusty, burnt-out shell of the crashed aeroplane sits in the middle of the field. The rudder sways in the wind. Joe is sitting in the cockpit. He drops his head, clambers out of the cockpit, and onto the ground. He slips on the wet mud, then tramps carefully away from the plane. The war is over. Stella walks along a country lane towards a grey stone church. She wears a bright red dress and black hat and has blonde permed hair. She warily enters the church where a christening is taking place. The congregation and the vicar are gathered round the font. On one side stands Ag, dressed in a chic black and white outfit with short cropped hair, holding the baby, and Prue, with light-coloured curly hair and a bright yellow dress. On the other side stand Mrs. Lawrence and a tall man with a grey beard. Stella hovers by the entrance and watches.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and bring you peace, now and forever.
Mrs. Lawrence glances up and sees Stella. Her face lights up with delighted surprise. Stella beams back. The congregation file out of the church, Stella with Mrs. Lawrence.
So sorry to hear about Mr. Lawrence. We sort of loved him, you know, really.
Work and worry. Never knew when to stop. Don't you never ever throw a mangold.
They stop and hug each other.
Stella? Stella! You just take him. You leave that even little well alone. Oh.
The three girls hug and look at each other, smiling. Mrs. Lawrence watches fondly from a distance before she turns and walks away. A garden party. Children dart and weave among groups of guests who stand around chatting. Stella walks through the garden. Ag comes up behind her with Desmond.
Make way, we're carrying vital dispatches. I found him. My husband Desmond. The wonderful Stella.
Stella.
Desmond. Oh, Desmond, you found her again.
Yes, my Cleopatra, Queen of the Nile.
He's been posted to Egypt. House mouse in the Canadian embassy, that's me.
Oh, here comes Prue.
Hey, you lay that mangold down gently.
Like it was an unexploded bomb.
Back in a mo.
This is Barry.
Oh, hello, Barry.
And where's Gerald?
The tall man with the beard comes over.
This is Gerald.
Would any of you spring blossoms like a drink?
Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure wholeheartedly.
Who's Gerald? My husband. Scrap metal made of mint.
We've got surplus tanks at the bottom of our garden. Be
right back. Prue walks away carrying her baby. Ag and Stella watch her go, then smile at each other.
She's happy. Down the hatch.
Holding each other's gaze, they sip their martinis and smile. Janet trots through the garden with two children in tow. Arm in arm, Ag and Stella walk alongside the house.
Philip and I are getting divorced. He left me, ran off with another woman.
Yes, well, hardly ran.
A dead ahead, mother and offspring closing fast in our direction.
I'll be standing by.
Jolly good. Janet!
Stella! You haven't changed. I need the lab. Gassy pop.
George and...
Faith.
Yes.
How's Philip?
Oh, he's very well. He wants to be a Member of Parliament.
Oh. Well, me and Joe are on the farm, of course, since his dad died.
Yes, I agree with me.
The children run off.
These two settled him down nicely. He never would have left, you know. I know he had his dreams, but he loves this life. I'm sure he'd like a word.
She smiles sweetly and hurries off. Stella stares after her morosely, then turns and walks through an opening in the hedge. Stella finds Joe sitting on a grassy bank amid clusters of daffodils. He turns his head and sees her. They stare at each other.
Stella.
Joe.
They amble through an orchard of trees laden with pink blossom.
I saw your children. They look like you.
Like you.
Been up in an aeroplane yet?
No, not yet.
You?
Yes. Well, I've started a travel business.
Grand. How's Philip?
He's fine. So am I.
They stop walking and stand facing each other.
I waited at that station every day for a week. I'm still there. Waiting.
Everything was against us, really, wasn't it, Joe? It just came at the wrong time.
Has it happened to you since?
No.
Not me.
Tears well up in her eyes. Gazing at each other, they reach out their hands. Their fingertips just touch, then drift apart. After a last look, Stella walks off. Joe blinks back tears. Ag and Prue approach.
Stella! Stella!
Stella!
Lovely Stella!
Joe walks away alone. He turns back to see Stella link arms with Ag and Prue and walk off. He turns away.
At that moment, I thought I would never be happy again. But I was wrong, because there is always hope, just as there are some things which always remain in the heart.
The film ends with a black and white photograph of the three land girls. Stella was played by Catherine McCormack, Ag by Rachel Weisz, and Prue by Anna Friel. Joe Lawrence was Stephen McIntosh, Mr. Lawrence, Tom Georgeson, Mrs. Lawrence, Maureen O'Brien. Janet, Lucy Ackhurst, Ratty, Gerald Down, Philip, Paul Bettany, Barry, Nick Mollo, Desmond, Michael Mantas. The agricultural officer was played by Nicholas LePrevost. The district commissioner was Celia Bannerman. Philip's mother was Anne Bell. And Gerald was played by Nigel Planer. Casting was by Jeremy Zimmerman. Makeup and hair design by Jenny Shercor. The co-producer was Andrew Warren. And the editor, Nick Moore. The costume designer was Shuna Harwood. The production designer, Caroline Amies. And the director of photography, Henry Braham. The music was written by Brian Locke, and the screenplay by Keith Dewhurst and David Leland was based on the novel by Angela Huth. The executive producer was Ruth Jackson, the producer, Simon Relf, and the director, David Leland. The Land Girls was an Intermedia Films presentation with the participation of the Greenlight Trust and Channel 4 Films of a Greenpoint film in association with West 11 Films, a British-French co-production with Camera One and Arena Films, with the participation of Canal Plus and Sofin Europe. ITFC audio description was by Adam English and Jane Brambley.